This is a HeadGum Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by RX Bar, whole food protein bars with simple, real ingredients.
Delicious.
They are delicious. Their core ingredients, Greta, do all of the talking. It's simply like eating 3 egg whites, 2 dates, and 6 almonds with no BS. And it turns out that real food ingredients in these whole food protein bars actually taste really good. You can really taste the cacao, the real fruit, the spices, like the sea salt. What do you think, Greta? You love them.
I love them. I mean, first of all, I love their packaging. You see exactly what's in the bar on the pack, like right on the bar when you get it. Like right on the packaging.
Yeah, like right on the packaging.
On the wrapper.
It's very clear.
And it's like, you know exactly what's in it. What I hate about other bars is that I don't know what the hell I'm eating. And in RX bar, I know exactly what I'm eating and it tastes like real food. It doesn't taste like weird, creepy powders and weird, creepy flours that you don't know if you should actually be eating it or not.
Yeah, exactly. They make the bar from real whole food ingredients and that tastes better than anything else that's out there. They don't need the fillers. They don't need the additives, the chemicals, or the added sugar. So
they're good for you.
They're good for you. It's a really great product. So today, all of our lady loving listeners get 25% off of your first order. All you have to do is visit rxbar.com/lovin and enter promo code lovin at checkout, and then you're going to get 25% off your first order.
You guys should get them because I keep them in my bag when I get like hunger meltdowns, and I get hunger meltdowns. So go get these RX bars, put them in your bag. You won't have a hunger meltdown. You'll know what's in them. You'll be happy. They're delicious.
They're great.
And they're great. Hello, beautiful world, and welcome to another episode of Lady Lovin'.
Hi, Greta.
Hey, guys.
We are...
Hi, Jill.
Here.
Jilly.
It's now just
guys,
a bit.
Do you
it's
think
now
that just she's become ever a bit. Get it right?
It's just become a bit at this point.
I think that I would really appreciate if you made an effort.
But would it be an authentic Lady Lovin' show if it Lo didn't call?
Jilly, we've been friends since the fourth grade, and you were Jill then. And it's, so it's just like...
That wasn't by choice.
Yes, it was.
Look, I'm no, friends...
My parents
I, called
me that.
It's just seared into my mind.
My parents gave me a nickname that I never wanted.
Listen, I was friends with this girl
what
in high
that
school,
was, like,
Lizzie.
The name of my,
The nickname I never wanted, memoir by Jilly Hendrix. You could do it.
I have the same thing.
Well, then you could... I could
argue a great nickname.
I would call you Lauren. I would call you Lauren.
Than yours.
I call you Lauren from time to time.
Yeah. If you wanted me to call you Lauren, I would.
It just doesn't really bother me that much.
See,
all the guys I date call me Lauren.
You guys, please. No one has as worse of a nickname than I.
What is it?
Everyone calls me Gertie Bird. Because here's the thing.
That's cute.
When people, it is cute, but when people don't know my name, but like know me from the internet.
As Gertie Bird.
Like people in my friend group. I'm not talking like my fans, but people will come up to me and they'll like introduce me to their friends as Gertie Bird. And then I'll need to be like Greta, you know, like mm-hmm. I'll need to say my name is not Gertie Bird, you know?
Yeah. I think that Instagram or like these like social media handles have really just like defined how we're referred to by people, because that is why I go by Jilly Hendrix.
Yeah, my
just
friend
from social media.
My friend Sean, his handle is It's Me Shawnee, and now I just call him
Shawnee.
It's Me Shawnee.
Yeah,
I'm like, hey, It's Me Shawnee's coming tonight.
My friend Mike, his Instagram handle is his like initials and then like what number he is in his family. He's like the fourth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for the longest
time. That's
like
too thought out of an Instagram handle. Like, have some fun with it.
Yeah, it's not a fun Instagram handle.
It's very serious.
Yeah. And for the longest time. Oh, wait, you guys, I'm such an idiot. It's not the number that he is. I forget. It's actually where he's from. He's from the Virgin Islands.
That sounds more boring.
Like fourth Virgin Island?
Like, you guys should just go and follow him. My friend Mike Day. It's M Day VI.
Okay.
And for the longest time, I just like
was reading it as Mike Davey. Yeah. And I was like, this is so weird. Maybe his name is actually like Mike Davey and I don't
Mike
know
Davey.
It. Yeah, but I love that VI stands for Virgin Islands, which I think is so funny.
This is odd.
Well, that's where he's from. He's Virgin Islands Mike Day.
That's also very odd. I've never met anyone from there.
You've met him. My friend Mike from St. John.
I've met him.
Yeah. So you have met people from there. There you go.
Jill's wearing a great pink outfit today.
You are. Where is that look from?
Reformation.
Reformation?
Mm-hmm. It's a Reformation joint.
It's a ref really joint. Cute. All right. Well, you guys, I think, you know, we loved doing last week's episode so much because we love it when you guys write into us because we are just, like, most passionate about talking to you guys and, like, talking about your problems, dilemmas.
Our problems.
Basically, we love to get emails from you and then insert ourselves in them. So we're still talking about ourselves, even though we're talking about you.
Exactly.
So yeah, it works out.
So I think this week, because we have a bunch of emails that we haven't responded to,
many emails. They're piling up.
Yeah, they are. They're stockpiling up.
Also,
what?
Before we continue,
yeah,
I wanted to tell you guys that I did ask that guy out.
Oh, you did? What did he say?
I'm just continuing on from my email last week.
Wait, so hold on. Did you get his
I got
contact?
His phone number.
Yeah.
And I sent him a text message and said, hey, it's Jilly, like, from the wedding.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did Let's he hang say? Out sometime. And he responded and we chatted for a minute. But then when it went to, like, being like, okay, like, want to hang out, like, he just never responded. He was like, yeah, let's kick it. Like, I'm going to L.A., like, blah, blah, blah.
I think he thinks that, you like you said, Jill, he thinks you live in L.A., and when he gets there, he'll text and be like,
maybe.
Hey, girl, I'm
You should
here.
Be like, I
maybe.
Live in New York.
But I'll have to say that the more people you message and the more you get rejected, the easier it is, guys.
Oh,
the
yeah.
easier
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's true.
I sent two unique text messages last week to two individuals.
What were the unique text messages?
Well, I don't want to say that they were crazy or aggressive because I'm a feminist and I think that as a woman, you're allowed to stand up for yourself and, like, be honest about your feelings and just
for
that's
sure.
what I did. But some people potentially would classify them as like, whoa, I can't believe you said that.
What did
that.
You say?
Well, there were two guys that I liked.
First off, I read these messages. I didn't classify them as whoa. I classified them as this bitch knows what she wants.
Yeah, thanks.
Was it when you were telling the guy that you didn't want something casual?
Well, no, but well, part of that, not something, I just want to like be able to date.
Right.
So this one guy was like, can we be friends with benefits? I'm like really busy. And I just shut him down and was like, no.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, no. But the crazy message that I sent is that I sent it to two dudes.
Like copy and paste it?
Yeah. I called them both fuck boys.
Yeah, they are.
And I said, hey, fuck boy.
Yeah.
I might have to go back and
yeah, let's. I want
you
to hear this
I
word
would like
for
to
word.
See this
because
word
now
for
I
word.
Kind of forget what I said exactly.
I would love to see this word for word.
Let's pull up these animals. Hey, fuck boy, is this one of those things where we've had sex so you never respond again? You can say yes, and then I'll leave you alone.
And what did he say?
Is that just like, you're going to copy and paste that
can
to
I
every man you
message?
Hook up with? Until,
now it's like a copy paste.
Until they're your boyfriend?
Well,
oh my God.
One responded like, no, I'm out of town. I'm back this weekend. But then he hasn't responded ever again since then. So that's okay.
Do you know what I think?
And then the other one I actually had, it's turned more in my favor.
Do you think that? I think that like if
really
when
funny.
You call them out, they immediately respond. But then they have to reach out again. And if they don't reach out again, it's like, bye.
Bye.
You can make, I think
like
you can make one effort like that.
But I would like to say, then when they respond, like that one guy that responded to you that was like traveling or like whatever that is.
Yeah.
Like, I still think that you were right to say what you said.
Duh.
You
for
know,
sure. I don't live
well, like,
with regrets.
Also, traveling.
Hard.
What is this? Everyone has the internet. Like, what do you think that he, like is he's gonna have to send you a message via carrier pigeon? Like,
totally.
I don't understand why he can't text
that
you.
That dude is like still been Instagramming and stuff. So
yeah, it's like fuck off. It's like,
bro,
like
I
receiving
see
my text.
It's like you're very yeah. active online and you're not responding.
I love it when Jilly says bro. It's my favorite thing when she's like bro. You've been texting.
Well, like
you've been active.
The
on
way
social.
That the way that you call people fuckboys, I call them bros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just kind of they are categorize, bros. Unfortunately, bros as fuckboys.
Yeah.
So next time I maybe won't use the term fuckboy.
Why not?
I think I wouldn't either because I feel like that's calling them a name.
Yeah, it's like sort of.
And men get very offended by that.
I mean, I'm fully on board with calling them fuckboy. I'm like, someone should tell you what you are, and it's a fuckboy.
I think you should just say,
went
hey,
over
guy.
Really well, and it was like, you called me a fuckboy, ha ha ha, kind of a thing. And that, like, I've recovered with that person. The other person is still in the Bahamas.
Here's the thing.
Two weeks later.
Okay, but, like, think about how different.
He's going to live in the Bahamas now. He's never coming home.
Seriously. Think about how different, though, that message would come across. Like, there's something about being like, hey, fuck boy. Like, is this one of those things where we, like, fuck and then, like, don't talk again? Like, if so, just, like, let me know and I'll leave you alone or whatever.
Yeah.
If you didn't have that, like, hey, fuckboy part, there is, like, that message would come across so different.
No.
If you would just wrote, like,
whoa,
hi,
actually,
if
right.
This is one of those things where, you know, like, the
well, yeah,
the
you have sound, to add a joke.
The tone would be but totally different.
But you could change
different.
The word to, like, hey, bro.
Okay, but this is when texting is. But this is when texting is so complicated because if
the
text
tone.
Were to be like, "Hey, if this is one of those things where you just fuck me and we don't talk again, like just let me know, okay?" Like,
I sent a
rather
guy,
than being like, "Hey, fuck boy," like you know,
that's true.
When I was like confused recently with a guy that I had hooked up with, and we like went on a date, I like sent him a message. And I was like, why did you even want to go out with me?
Oh, God, yeah.
And that did not go well. He, like, freaked out on me.
Well, I mean.
Well, I have
so maybe I should have added a, hey, fuckboy, why did you even want to go out with me?
That's what I'm saying.
I have another guy who.
Lo has, like, more men on, like, her
she's met, got
roster,
men on deck,
as they say, than, like, anyone I've ever met in my life. Any human I've ever met.
I have another guy who actually is, like, a good friend and a really good person who I have exploded on, like, a couple times.
Oh, yeah. But he's also
my
a fuckboy.
Yeah, but, like, I'm not, like, trying to make it more than that.
He's a nice person, but he's a fuckboy.
Let me just. Can I get through my own version of the tale without the interjection?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, no. So, I mean, I actually don't think he is.
You don't think he's a fuckboy?
No.
Then what do you think his problem is?
I mean, I think that he's, like, a party guy and, like, likes to have fun. But I think, I mean, like, when I'm talking about a fuckboy, I mean, like, in their soul. Are you,
oh,
like,
yeah,
a good
no.
person or a
he's
bad
a
person?
He has a nice heart, but you
and
can do better.
Yeah, he's a good person. And he's somebody that I have exploded on, like, angrily, like, a couple times since my ex and I broke up. And actually, I apologized to him, apologized again to him this weekend. And he was like, it's okay, sweetie. Like, I understand.
But he also said some weird shit to you.
Like what?
Remember when we were out at that bar and he was like, I don't hope you know that, like, I just want to be friends, like, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
I mean, he said some weird shit to you.
Yeah, it was weird, but it wasn't like that. He was like, I just broke up with my girlfriend and I'm not over her, so, like, we're not going to date right away, kind of a thing.
Oh, I think you explained it a little different than that.
Did I?
You did, but it's okay, Lo.
It's okay.
Heated moments.
Maybe he hurt
especially
my feelings when he said that, but now I'm feeling more realistic about it.
Got it.
I've also popped off on, like, so many dudes.
Right?
Yeah. I love popping off on dudes.
I didn't used to, but now that I'm 30 and my own woman and single again.
You just, like don't have time. I just don't have time.
Same,
you know?
My
problem is, like, I don't feel like men are upfront about what they want. And it's like, if you just were to say, I just want to hook up, or I want to casually date, or I'm looking for something serious. But, like, put it in a category.
Okay,
like, I don't have time to, like, figure it out.
Can I be honest with you, though? I think that men, for the most part, don't fucking know what they want. And half the time just want a woman to come in their life and be like, hi, I'm here. This is what's going to happen.
I guess.
Think so, too. I think it.
I'm being serious.
I think it's about chemistry a lot of the time. I think if you have, like, that instant chemistry and you get along and you enjoy being together, they will be like, let's be casual or whatever. And if you put your foot down and they're like, okay, and you keep hanging out, then you have to see.
I don't know. I feel like there's men out there that are like, I'm looking for a relationship.
Definitely. Yeah, there are, like, men out there that are like, I'm looking for a relationship.
Not everyone just wants to bang.
No, but I'm saying, I think that, like, okay, I think for a number of reasons, whether it's because women, like, physically, we, like, give birth and are, like, have our bodies and we feel time passing, like, with ourselves. I think that that's part of the reason why we're like, I want to be in this relationship. a lot of it because like I want to have kids and I want to have a family. And I think that that's something that instinctually happens to women more than it happens to men. So I think that that's why women are a little bit more definitive about the desire to get into a relationship. Whereas I think men, they have a longer time for them to be like dicking around and doing whatever the fuck they do it, like they want to do. Like a man's little sperm can be like fine till he's like 50. You know what I mean? And I just think it's a different,
maybe,
but it creates a different feeling for a man than it does for a woman, which is why I think women are a little bit more definitive than men are a lot of the time.
Totally. Yeah.
Guys, this is going to turn into every week.
Just our dating stories.
Of our dating lives.
Of Lo and I's dating lives.
I love it. All right. You guys, I think that, you know,
Now we can answer some questions. Now that we've gotten through our own problems.
Should we drop our email address?
Yes. Yeah. If you are listening and you want to write us in about literally anything, it doesn't need to be a relationship. It can be, you know, we talk about so much stuff on this show. You can
also just email us and be like, I'm having trouble falling asleep at night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'd love to talk about that. Or just like anything.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe trouble falling asleep at night wouldn't be as rich of a conversation.
We have some ideas. Lo does have sleeping issues. Or like, my air conditioner broke. What do I do?
So, Jilly, where should our writers write in?
They could email us at... is it just my email address?
No.
We have an email?
Yeah, but that's how people contact us through our website.
Oh, I thought it all just went through me. Oh,
yeah. ladylovin.com.
Oh, yes.
You can email us at contact@ ladylovin.com.
That is contact at ladylovin.com.
Yeah. Email us for sure your questions because sometimes in the DMs, they get lost.
Like, it does go down in the DM, but it also gets lost in
the DM.
Things
that go down in the DM are more like, hey, girl, like...
I have so many message requests. Don't send me your advice.
Yeah, don't send any questions.
I mean, actually, DMing the Lady Lovin' account's not... I read the Lady Lovin' account DMs. If you're going to... And also, DM me because I don't have all these followers like these hoes.
Yeah, you
Okay, no, I don't. But it's
what's our Lady Lovin' Instagram account?
Lady underscore Lovin'. No, wait, Lady Lovin' underscore.
It's Lady Lovin' underscore.
Yeah, it's Lady Lovin' underscore.
And our email is contact@ladylovin.com.
Perfect. All right, you guys. So we have a juicy question.
Let's hear it. Juicy cues.
All right.
That should be the name of our band, Juicy Cues.
Yes. Hi, Greta, Jilly, and Lo.
Hey,
I have an advice question that I'm hoping you can all help me with. One of my best friends is a lesbian and just broke up with her girlfriend of 3 years. Our other best friend has recently come out as bisexual, and the two of them have begun hooking up.
Oh, damn.
The girl who just broke up with her girlfriend has expressed to me that she just wants to have fun and isn't looking for anything serious. The other girl is clearly testing the waters, but has expressed that she does have feelings for our other friend. It's really awkward because going out or hanging out with my two best friends isn't the same as it used to be, because it ends up with them hooking up or being all over each other and leaving me feeling alone and awkward. How do I confront this? How do I confront them on how this is making me feel? I want both of my friends to be happy, and if this situation is making them happy, that's great, but it's shifting the dynamics of our friendship, which I don't like. Hmm. Also, do I have a responsibility to talk to them regarding one friend seeing this as just friends with benefits and the other taking it more seriously? I don't want anything to blow up and impact the friendship, and I feel like I'm in between a rock and a hard place. Thanks.
Let me tell you something, girl. Things are never going to be the same.
Agree.
And that's just one thing you're going to have to accept.
Also, it's not up to her.
Yeah.
It's up to these two girls who like each other.
I think that definitely you should have a conversation with them and be like, sometimes I feel uncomfortable because when we're all out, like, I feel like I'm end up like being alone, blah, blah, blah. But I also think that like when two people like each other and are attracted to each other and they're hooking up, it's like, you can't stop it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that maybe when you're with them, maybe you could bring out another friend. So that way you don't feel like you're being like left behind, or you have like another, you know, wing woman with you. But I think that, yeah, moving forward, because even if it doesn't work out with them, it's like they're probably not going to want to hang out with each other all the time. You know? So well, it's like,
especially the one that has caught feelings.
Yeah.
That is a tricky situation to navigate. And maybe women are different than men post-relationship. I have not had a relationship with a woman, but like I have lots of friendships with women. And typically, in my experience with women, if you talk something out, you can resolve whatever the issue is. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's the same in romantic relationships. But I just kind of feel like it's so shitty to be the third person in this little friendship group, because the reality is that it's like not up to her what happens, and no matter what she says or whatever, like sexual chemistry and like liking somebody, like typically like rules stronger than a friend being like, this makes me uncomfortable. And if you asked the other girls, they'd probably be like, I'm just like doing what I want and I love my friend, but I also really like this person. It's just, it feels, sounds super complicated.
Yeah,
for sure.
The thing is, no one likes hanging out with any couple, whether it be your two girlfriends hooking up, your two guy friends hooking up, or just like a hetero couple.
Yeah.
No one enjoys being the third and watching them like be making out and all over each other when you guys are just trying to have a good time.
Even when you go out with a friend and they end up finding someone and you don't, you're still like, oh fuck, this is a little boring.
Yeah. And also like when people start, like I've been in a situation with friends that have been like super passionate and like in love and like have been full making out the entire time I'm like sitting with them, mm-hmm. and I'm like, could you just like not right now?
Yeah, like, it's also like, if you want to like be alone, cool, then why am I here?
Yeah, then like I'll go.
But my question is, do you think that they're like hanging out with you as like a buffer, like bringing you along to these things as a buffer instead of like the two of them hanging out?
It sounds like it's like a squad situation. It sounds like it would be like if you know, if Jillie and Lowe started hooking up and I was just left to hang out from time to time. But I think that if in terms of like the question, should you tell one of the girls how the other is feeling? Look, if it's still going on right now and you have that one girl that just got out of her relationship with her girlfriend and she's like, I want it to stay casual, and the other one still has feelings, that's still the situation right now. I would tell the girl that wants it to be casual that she should be careful what she's doing, because the other girl, I think, is having has feelings for her. I would do that.
I wouldn't do anything, because I think that you got to let love handle itself.
Yeah, I just think it's a delicate situation. And I think that if
well, you never want to tell one person that the other person wants more when the other person isn't ready to say that to that person. You know what I mean? Like, that's a conversation she should have. You could tell that one person, hey, like, I don't think this person wants more. But to tell the other person that doesn't want more, then they can just, the other person comes off a little desperate. And I feel like that gets a little weird.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. Like the person that wants to be casual, or the person that is liking the person more, I feel like you can say, hey, blah, 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 told me she kind of just wants to be casual. But if you do the opposite, I think it kind of messes it up.
That feels like the opposite of what I would think.
Wouldn't you want to tell the one that like wanted it to be more casual?
Yeah. Like, get your fucking shit together.
Yeah.
Remember that this is your best friend.
Yeah.
Have an honest conversation with this person.
And also like, remember that, I mean, exploring sexuality, and I don't know if this is the first time that the one girl is hooking up with a girl, but that like is a very vulnerable, delicate, intense experience when you're like first hooking up with another person that you're not used to. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're already feeling so many feelings that if you wanted to be like cautious for your friend, I would definitely go through the friend that's feeling less vulnerable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think that sometimes I feel that if someone likes someone more and you tell the person that doesn't really like them, then it sort of just feels like they get more power than the other person. And the other person's sort of like, like a little small fish.
What if this friend has a conversation with the friend who's more into the friend? Jesus. About kind of what you were just saying, Greta. You know, it's like, I know that you're having like a really new experience, and I think that your emotions are really big right now, and I think it's important to pay attention to that. But in a few weeks, or with a different person, or tomorrow, you could feel differently. So maybe heed the advice that this is a really exciting time for you, and maybe instead of putting all your eggs into the basket of our best friend, maybe you should date lots of people or more than one person. I think that that would be a nice way to approach the conversation without saying, oh, like our friend is not really interested in something serious with you, because that's really hurtful no matter who it comes from. And I think that there's just a better way to have two very separate conversations, right? One with the friend who is casual, being like, you need to remember that we are best friends and you need to make that a priority. And that includes being honest. And I think with the other person, like, support this new endeavor of like sexuality and experience, and try to see that there is more out there than just, you know, this particular woman.
For sure. I just wouldn't say, tell either of them that you, that the one doesn't like the other person more, blah, blah, because then you're going to get blamed and it's going to be like a whole drama.
Yeah, well, no matter who the friends are, there's going to be drama, because that's just what always happens when friends hook up. Because eventually either they, like, you know, the only way that there isn't drama is if they, like, I guess get married maybe and like live happily ever after. But like, that's probably not going to happen.
And they're still going to get in a fight.
Yeah.
And like, there's still going to be another situation just like this one where one likes more than the other. Like, this is just how relationships
Relationships are just like this.
I was talking to my friend Fiona the other day, and we were talking about guys and how it can be really great in the beginning. And I think with women, I'm sure this applies also. It can be really great in the beginning. You have some like great first dates. You hang out like 3 or 4 times, and then it gets kind of weird. And it's because one person
wants more,
freaks out. No, not doesn't necessarily want more than the other person. I think is more aware of their feelings and like willing to move forward. And the other person likes the person, but gets freaked out. And the person that gets freaked out is always the bad guy and always has to like go through the shit for a little bit, or like get called out or whatever. But I don't know a single human being that is in a relationship that has avoided that step.
Yeah.
Of, we like each other, like, oh shit, maybe it's not going to work out. Oh, we like each other, now like we're dating.
In my past relationships, it's never like that. It's always like, we like each other, we're just going to date, until it gets into like a huge blow up after like a year.
Oh, wow. Every person I know,
but that's because I don't have a lot of casual relationships. Like, it's either like I have like one date or like maybe a hookup, and then like a serious relationship that's like, we're gonna get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone I know, like, it goes funny at some point and you have to recover from it somehow.
Yeah, that happens to me. That's like happened to me, but I always feel like whenever it's like gone funny, I've never really like been able to
get it back. Yeah.
Oh, I've never, like, for me, it's like gone awry, and then like I've never really been able to like ring it back in.
Recapture it.
I also like am the worst dater. Like, same. I'm the kind of person that, like, will fuck you no matter, like, on the first date, and, like, will just, like...
Kind of same.
My thing is more just, like, I'm like, do I see us, like, at age 64, like, sharing the same interests? Like, literally, that's, like, my, like, thought process on, like, a first date, and then I'm like, nope, bye.
When I'm on a first date, I just, like, I do a few things. Number one, I look at your shoes, and I can determine whether or not I'm going to like you if I look at your shoes. Oh, God,
yeah, wow.
You know,
which is like very judgmental, but you can. A shoe says a lot about a person.
I look at the shoes before the first date.
I just want a guy in like a John Varvatos boot or like a Saint Laurent these days to show up.
Wow.
These days, I feel like that's what you always want.
Well, duh.
I know, but maybe when you're younger, like that, or like that
an
says
Adidas
a lot,
or
that
something.
Says, like
I don't
an
know.
Adidas, like Stan Smith situation.
Yeah.
Like you want like a fashionable guy that has money to spend on clothing, which means in turn he has money, which means in turn that he is hopefully a professional to some capacity.
Yeah, I just want him to have cool shoes.
You know what I'm always into?
What?
A lot of hair.
You like a lot of hair.
I've really...
Like a thick head of hair. Not like long hair, but just like
you
thick.
Like hair.
I do.
I've really moved away from that. Not on purpose, but I just don't care anymore.
I mean, my boyfriend is as bald as a whistle, so I do not... Yeah. I don't care.
I made out with a bald guy once.
Balding is okay with me now. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah. Like, all right, so what do we think? Really, just to recap quickly, just to finish off our little
that
advice,
was a really hard question, by the way.
I think that she should tell both of them that they need to talk to each other, because they're both telling her different things. And I think she needs to tell both of them when they're out together. If they just want to be out together, that's cool.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, I also think that, like,
but
next
time... But I
wouldn't
get too super involved.
Don't get too super involved, I agree. But I would say next time they're, like, full making out in front of you and making you feel awkward, you should just say something. You should be like, guys, I love you. I love hanging out with both of you. But, like, I didn't come here to, like, watch you guys hook up. So,
hey,
like,
fuck boys. Yeah. Don't make out in front of me.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Do you think that people get called fuck girls?
Probably. You're a fuck girl. No,
I
because like
it
girls,
go.
It doesn't,
girls
doesn't
are
sound. It doesn't have a ring.
Yeah,
to
it doesn't roll off the tongue in the same way.
Gorgeous. Well, I guess we should move on to our next little question.
Okay.
So, this is hi, Jilly, Lo, and Greta. I love the order, the name order. They're just switching it up.
Hi.
A bit of context. She's 25. She lives in a large city. She is an ENFP. Do you guys know what ENFP is? Did you ever do this personality test?
I did one. I'm also doing a
video.
Instagram
could
story
you not
right
do,
now.
Could you just tell us one before we do that?
Sure, sorry.
It's cute.
I wasn't ready. I need to always be ready.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I did
not
one,
know what that is. Could
I did
you tell
one a
me
couple
the rest
weeks ago, and I'm like a EJT P or something.
Could you explain that? Because I don't know it.
Yeah, so there is the Myers-Briggs type indicator for like what your personality is. So ENFP, for example, I'm an ENFP as well. ENFP is your extroversion. You're extroverted. You lead by intuition and feeling and perception. So there are different grades for like different kinds of people. So you can be either an E or an I, an introvert or introversion or extroversion.
Okay.
And then you can have, there's so many, hold on. I need to, there's INF. They're just all these different kinds.
Okay. So she's extroverted.
So a lot of people like really, stick by this Myers-Briggs like personality type test.
Okay.
And a lot of people will date people that are compatible with their personality through Myers-Briggs. Like I've been on dating apps before and I've seen
dating
people.
Apps. All these guys write their like thing and I'm just like, I don't know what this means.
Oh my God, I've never even seen that.
Yeah, a lot of people like really abide by like this Myers-Briggs type indicator. So there are 16 personalities. It's very interesting. I'm reading all about it right now.
Okay, so what is she?
So she's an ENFP.
What
meaning
is that?
She's like, she's extroverted. She is like very perceptive. She leads with her feelings. She's like, you know.
What does the N stand
for? Can you tell me
for?
What each letter stands for? E is extroverted.
Hold on.
N.
E is extroverted. N. Why is this all over the place? Okay. E is extroverted. N stands for intuition, which doesn't really make sense. That should be I, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Stands for intuition. F stands for feeling. And P stands for perception.
Mm.
So you take this test and they basically break down how you perceive, like, you know, communication and feeling and, like, how you live your life. And this kind of person that...
Right. What's interesting about the test, though, is like for each letter, there's an opposite letter, and that's it. So it's like you're either extroverted or introverted.
Right.
So you're either extrovert or introvert. Isn't it E or O? Whatever. You're either extroverted or introverted. And if you're even 51% introverted, then you're like introverted instead of extroverted. So it's like very...
Definitive,
but to me, it's like there's like.
So yeah, there are so many.
There are shades of gray to me, and so this test is sort of fun,
you know,
funny to me.
I mean, there's always shades of gray.
Like, let's see, ISTJ is another one. Introverted sensing, extroverted thinking, introverted feeling, extroverted intuition. So
this is complicated.
Let's
get back to the question.
Whatever. So she's an ENFP, which, by the way, accounts for 7% of the population.
Cool.
Great.
And she is ENFP, single, straight, cisgender. So she is just a single, straight, she identifies as a woman. So she's just, you know, living her life. I see different parts of myself in the three of you, which make you all the perfect people to get advice from. Thank you.
Wow, what a compliment.
My question is about therapy. I've been thinking about seeing a therapist to discuss my anxiety and childhood trauma. I'm getting my master's, which gives me access to free mental health services through college, so I want to take advantage of that while I'm here. I'm hesitant about going, not because I don't believe in therapy, but because I am just so uncomfortable discussing the darkness I've experienced and overcome. I don't necessarily fear that I will be judged, but I am feeling very aware that someone is going to analyze my painful experiences and how I am communicating them. It's difficult to talk about already, and adding the pressure of reacting the right way is stressing me out. The only people I've ever talked to about this trauma are a handful of very close friends whom I've only told in the past year. Do you three have advice about going to therapy for the first time? How open should I be right off the bat? What if I uncover that my trauma has affected me more than I realize, and my trauma has, in a sense, won? I fully believe that mental health, quote-unquote, injury should be treated with equal importance as a physical injury. It's just time I practice what I preach. Any tips for making therapy worthwhile for a first-timer?
Oh, my God.
So many. I will say that I've been in therapy with many different therapists throughout my life, I would say, from like being 17 till 30. And I think that the biggest misconception is that you go to one therapist and you have to stay with that therapist. And I think that for me, what has worked out is trying a bunch of different therapists, because I am able to like learn something from a few of them. And then a few of them I haven't felt comfortable with, so I've moved on to other people that I am able to like open up with. And interesting thing is, like, I'll tell you this. I got diagnosed having PTSD like a year ago, and I still don't even know like the exact cause, which is interesting. And
for you, those of you that don't know what PTSD is, it's post-traumatic stress disorder.
And I am still trying to like figure that out. But I did find a new therapist a few months ago that I'm like obsessed with, and that I'm able to like open up to that I never could with any other therapist in the past 12 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do think that like giving yourself the ability, or the, I guess, taking chances with like different therapists and being open with a bunch of different people that are certified, I think until you find the right one you're comfortable opening up to, is like very important. Because I feel like sometimes people do get stuck talking to one person and then they are not able to like actually reach that next step.
Yeah, a good therapist will treat an initial session as a test and something where you're just getting to know each other, and won't put pressure on you to schedule another session. They'll leave it up in the air and open for you to make the decision. So, you know, you can decide in the room if you really like that person, or you could, you know, take a couple days and figure it out if you wanted to continue to see that person or a different person. And when you were reading the question, and I want to say this is in the most sensitive way possible, but, you know, she says that she's had these dark moments that she's overcome and childhood traumas that she's overcome. But if you are uncomfortable, like going to a therapist, you obviously have not overcome your childhood traumas.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that's a pretty big indicator that, like, if you are so hesitant, like you feel like you want to go, but something is really holding you back, that is a trauma and something on its own that you need to figure out. It's not about therapy. It's about some communication slip up, like in your childhood, that you need to dig deeper with a professional to identify and figure out, like being that afraid to like express yourself or, you know, like take good action for yourself. So I think that you should definitely go to a therapist, run there. I think that everybody should be in therapy.
Me too. For sure.
Every single person on this human has childhood traumas. It turns you into the person that you are today.
I think also, I just want to say, going back to like me saying that diagnosis is like, I didn't want to go to therapy. I didn't want to keep going back to therapy. I would go to like 4 sessions and then like stop, because it's like, you don't really like want to. You're like, oh, I'm an adult. I've moved on. I don't want to like rehash this, because I don't want this to like hold me back from living my life. Or I'm afraid if I like go there, it's like you're blaming everything on that, as opposed to like moving forward when you may like seem that you're, you know, okay and you're like functioning. But I think it's like very important to like recognize like that those things happened, and to like understand like, you know, that everyone goes through stuff like that, and to sort of know that it's not holding you back, and it's not going to be this, like, because you're talking about it doesn't mean that it has to be a dark cloud that follows you everywhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, that's also really important to understand.
I just think that, trauma is something, like, if you're already getting anxious writing about it, like Lo is saying, clearly this trauma is still, like, super lingering in your life. You're also, like, at a time where after, like, you're 25 and you're at a time where, like, after you get your master's, you're going to go through a lot of life changes, and, like, you're going to be out of school for the first time, and, like, you're going to be faced with getting a job and being in a different reality. And I think that if you can take the time right now to start sorting these things out, that is, like, so important and should be your priority. Like, your mental health should be your priority, because that's what's going to allow you to, you know, live a successful and bright future. I also think that in terms of, like, how vulnerable should you be, or how your fear is, like, worrying about reacting in the right way. There is no right or wrong way to react. Like, you just need to react the way that you want to react. I mean, a lot of the time when I go to therapy, I literally just cry for, like, 45 minutes sometimes. Yeah. Because that's just how I'm reacting to it. So I don't think you should put a pressure on yourself to react a certain way. You need to know that these people are doctors. Like, this is what they do. And they're not expecting you to do anything. They have no expectations of you at all.
Yeah.
So you just need to go in there and realize that, like, their only job is to help you. Period. Like, that's all that they want to do, is to help you.
Yeah.
They're not there to, like, criticize you and, like, make you feel bad.
No.
Yeah. They're truly just there to help you. So I think 1000% go. It will only benefit you. It's going to be really hard, and you probably will uncover that this trauma has affected you in more ways than you thought. But, like, it's only going to allow you to live a more successful future dealing with these things now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, like, don't put so much pressure on yourself about, like, you know, going all of the time or going to one specific person. Like I said, it's like, if you're like, if you need to go baby steps in it, go baby steps in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree with what Julie's saying. Like, take your time, find the right therapist. If you go to one therapist and it didn't really work out, don't just, like, axe off therapy as a concept.
Exactly.
Just, like, go to another one. After my mom died, I went to, like, I think I went to 9 different therapists before I found a therapist that, like, I really liked.
Yeah.
I also think you can go.
I was going to say, therapy is not fun. It's like, if it's kind of the same thing as, like, you have to go to the gym to meet your trainer.
Yeah, it's like working out.
It's like, you don't really want to go, but once you're there, you're kind of like, okay, this is helping me. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that hurdle, that, like, just because you don't want to go doesn't mean that it's not helping you, doesn't mean that it's bad or that it's a waste of time. It's just, like, that human reaction of laziness.
Challenging.
Yeah.
It's also challenging too, you know, and it's like,
it is challenging having to, like, go and sit for an hour and, like, face your fears.
Oh, and
hard.
Like, uncover all of this stuff, all this terrible shit that's happened in your life that you, like, the last thing you want to do is spend a whole afternoon, like, talking about it, and then you leave and, like, then you're thinking about it. But the thing is, like, you are already thinking about it. Like, you're scared that the trauma has won. Like, it has, because it's haunting you every day. You're really debating going, and you're really scared of it. And there are reasons for all of this. It's like,
so you have to look at, like, the larger picture of, like, you want to better your life. You want to have positive relationships with people. You want to have, like, you know, positive, like, work life, family life, everything. So you have to think about it more, I think, like, as a future thing, like, instead of, like, immediate results. And I think that's also the difficult thing, because sometimes, like, you'll go to therapy for, like, 2 months and you'll be like, I don't know if this is helping. But then the way that you react to certain situations in the future, you'll be like, wow, I did learn something about myself during that time. And now I'm able to process this a different way or react a different way. So it's definitely not something that you get, like, a sort of, like, immediate reaction from. And I think that obviously for, like, all of us in society, like, we're so used to getting that sort of, like, immediate, like, you know, or
instant,
like, instant gratification. Yeah. And I think that therapy is definitely something that, you know, you see the the greatness of it after a long time.
Yeah, it's like a more than 1 year process, you know, like I've been in it for a few years now. And I will say, though, I am wholly a different person now than I was before I began this journey with my therapist. And I see my life totally differently. I feel inside like a totally different person. I treat people totally differently. And all of this is in a really positive way. And, you know, I'm 30. I started it a couple of years ago, and it has really allowed me to come full circle into my young adulthood as the kind of person that I would admire if it was somebody else. You know, it's really taught me how to like live my best life, be the best version of myself for myself, mm-hmm. And like find peace and happiness in who I am.
Yeah.
And so it's not easy, but it's totally worth it, especially if it's free. Oh my God.
I know. Go. Seriously. Go. All right. So we all think, gotta go, girl.
I don't know if you got that, but we all definitely think you should
just go. The general message is go. Go. Try it. Go. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be really challenging, but ultimately the most worthwhile thing you can do. And on that note, we are going to take a little break to hear a word from our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Care Of. Care Of is an amazing new company that I am so excited to be working with. Care Of is a brand new vitamin company, and it's amazing because you get to receive monthly shipment of vitamins that come in personalized daily packets, and they're just totally customized to you. So if you're like me, where you've gone to the pharmacy or the health food store and you want to start taking new vitamins because you know that you should and you want to be healthy, but you don't really know where to start or what to take, Care Of is the place to go. Care Of allows you to go online and create supplement packages that fit completely with your lifestyle and your health goals. Also, the look and the feel of the packaging is amazing, and it also makes for an incredible gift for someone that is health conscious as well. I love Care Of because it has allowed me to take vitamins that I need to take. I always wanted to take things like turmeric or have more vitamin B, all of these things that I wanted but never really knew how or what the right dosage was, and Care Of just does it all for me, and it comes right to my door. So if you are having a hard time because you can't figure out which vitamins to take, especially when you're in the drugstore and there's no one there to help you, Care Of is the new vitamin company that has it all for you. So, Care Of is offering 50% off of your first month's order using the code LOVIN, that is LOVIN. So go to takecareof.com now and get a personalized recommendation using the offer code LOVIN, LOVIN, for 50% off of your first month's order. I promise you guys are going to love it. You're going to just feel so relieved knowing that you have these totally customizable daily packs of vitamins that are 100% natural and good for you. And it's amazing and great. So that is takecareof.com now to get a personalized recommendation with the offer code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N, for 50% off of your first month's order.
And we're back.
Wow, what a beautiful message. We love our sponsors.
All right. So another question that we have that I think is really relevant for all of us. A listener DM'd me.
Oh, they didn't send an email to contact@ladylovin.com?
They didn't, but they should.
But you can reach us at contact@ladylovin.com.
You guys, I'm going to email contact@ladylovin.com just to make sure it goes through.
It does. It does. I sort all of the emails, guys.
So she wrote into us, or wrote into, us collectively. And she was like, I can't deal with my incessant stalking of my exes. I can't deal with seeing them on social media.
She stalking?
She's doing stalking.
Okay.
Girl, I got a lot to tell you. I'm so excited about this.
She's like, I can't deal with my constant stalking of my exes. I can't deal with seeing friends like out making me feel jealous and bad, even though I know that they're not. Like, they're not intentionally making her feel jealous, but like, this is her reaction to social media. Mm-hmm. And she's like, so I've decided that I'm going to delete all social media. So I'm, but you know, she's also scared to delete all social media because it's like a huge part of like our young lives. You know what I mean? So how do you guys feel about deleting social media? And how do you feel about deleting social media as a reaction to stalking someone? What do you think? How do we feel?
I think she is avoiding like her underlying emotions just by deleting it. It's
for
like,
sure.
Just
still
deal
there,
with your,
girl.
Deal with your shit, man.
I think that honestly, social media is going to be here forever and you can't just delete it. So I also think it's going to hold you back in life because I think that even in work and personal, it just, it's important to know what's going on in the world. I don't think that we all need to be like, and like addicted to our phones 24/7 and like be on our phones while we're at dinner and blah, blah, blah. But I do think it's important to like be aware. And I think that social media keeps us aware. I think that there's the larger issue is just you learning how to not stalk, which I actually, I used to have the largest problem where I would stalk ex-boyfriends, new girlfriends and compare myself to them and be like, why don't I look like that? Or like, why aren't I doing that? Blah, blah, blah. And like, you just have to like wake up one day and just stop. Like, I know that's like very hard, but I feel like trying to take baby steps and to stop stalking and to stop feeling that way will really help. I do think that, you know, unfollowing ex-boyfriends, I think 100% because you don't need to like, they don't need to pop up in your feed every day.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think that you should be deleting the whole account.
I like kind of disagree because I don't give it, like if you want to delete your account and you feel like all that social media is doing is making you feel bad, delete it. Like if all that you're getting is negative feelings from being on social media, like if that's the only thing that's coming to you, you're not getting any joy about it, then what's the point of being on it?
Well, I just
and you
think
can always rejoin,
go,
you know what I
guess,
I mean?
But I don't think, I think that it's more just don't go on it as enough, like, or
I
as
think
much.
That some people
like,
that don't have,
is.
I think that some people don't have the willpower
well,
to like
get
not.
The willpower. It's the same thing. Like,
I mean,
I would love to eat,
done.
But my thing is like, I would love to eat cheeseburgers 24/7, but like, I can't because I don't want to die. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you have to like protect yourself and you have to get that discipline.
I agree. But I think that if initially something is making you feel really, really bad, there's no harm in just deleting it. And then if you want to get it back, you can get it back.
I think
I agree with Lo. There's an underlining issue and like that's what I would figure out before just like erasing it all.
Yeah. I think just like to Jilly's point, I think if you're on Instagram and you unfollow your ex,
yeah,
I
that
think
will
that
help.
That's a great step to take.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So I think that there's an in-between where you can keep your Instagram so that you can like get updates from Refinery29 or whatever. And you also don't have to see updates from people from your past. That's really easy. When my ex and I broke up, I unfollowed him and I unfollowed all of his friends. Not in a mean way, not to be cruel, to save, but to save myself. And
yeah, I do the same thing.
Like, but it was a very, it was a decision that I thought through and I took the consequences into consideration and I really understood why I was doing it. It wasn't just I was having these really strong reactions and emotions. And so I, you know, made a split second decision of like, I'm going to delete everything. It's like, no, I understood the motivation behind wanting to, you know, unfollow and not see these people. And, I feel like this person that wrote in has a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And she uses the word jealousy and things like that. And, I think that it's important also to remember that on social media, everything that you see is fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone is putting like their quote unquote
best life. It's like a curated version
of
yourself.
But that's the same thing. When you
and it's really important to like acknowledge
that
and remember it. And also these days and for a long time, people use social media as they're motivated to post particular things. Like right now I'm posting my revenge body in the hopes that like, you know, my ex
someone
will see
sees
it and like
it.
Cry on the inside or that a new guy that I'm seeing will be like, oh wow, she's so banging. So you have to remember that people are doing things on there for their own pleasure and joy and motivations. And it's really not about you at all.
Well, the other thing too is like about the whole jealousy thing is like, there's going to be people that are like doing cooler shit than you, that are more attractive than you, that are smarter than you, that are funnier than you, that are all these things. And then there's people that are uglier than you, not like as funny, not as smart, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, you can't just like live in this world where you like are comparing yourself to other people or you're feeling left out or blah, blah, blah. You just sort of have to accept where you are and who you are. And I think that's like the larger thing, because mm-hmm. these sort of social media stuff and like everyone's like, you know, making themselves look more attractive or funny or whatever, that's going to be around forever and it's only going to get worse. So it's more about you like feeling more comfortable about your place in the world rather than like erasing everything.
Yeah.
And like I have tried to erase everything before and I've tried to like delete this and that and it still comes back. It's not something that will go away until you get at peace with yourself.
I've deleted social media from my phone like a billion times in times when I just like haven't wanted it. Mm-hmm. And like I actually, for me, like it did help. Like I deleted Instagram from my phone. I didn't delete my account, but I deleted the app from my phone.
Yeah.
And I just found that even like not having the app on my phone for like a month just allowed me, gave me the opportunity to refocus and like reprioritize.
Some breathing room.
Yeah. And just like, and just remind myself, oh, this is just a platform. This is not real life, like 100%. And this does not determine my be all end all happiness. And then when I re-downloaded it on my phone, I was able to just sort of, I had more perspective. That's what deleting it from my phone gave me. It was just like more perspective.
Well, I don't use my phone for 24 hours of the week and it's the best.
Yeah. I was going to actually just bring that up.
Yeah. Like I find that, I need a break from all technology, from emails, from everything. Mm-hmm. It's not just like social stuff. It's more of like, I want to just be like with myself.
Yeah.
So like, but that's like a discipline thing. You know what I mean? And it took me a very long time to get to that place.
It is. It's about discipline for sure. I don't take a day off like on Fridays, like Jilly does, but something that I have really tried to do that helps me actually sleep better is that like I make a decision every night, like, okay, I'm putting my phone away now and I'm not looking at it again until the next morning. And making that decision really helps me fall asleep, go to sleep better, because it's like, I have the power over my phone. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not waiting for somebody to text me. If they text me, I can text them back tomorrow, whatever. I'm not getting woken up by alerts from Instagram and all of this shit. So I think it's kind of like what you said, Greta, like you can delete it if you want. It's like you have to be in control. You have to get the power back from the social media and like you have to figure out how you do that. But I also, to Jill and I's point from the very beginning, like where is your jealousy coming from? What is going on? Like you,
yeah, get clearly into, there are yeah, like deeper seated issues.
Yeah, get into but therapy, again, just I like think, our second question.
But again, I think like what I was trying to say about deleting it from your phone for a moment if you want is just like, if that's what it's going to take to give you perspective on yourself to realize that like you shouldn't be jealous, you have a beautiful life and you should just be enjoying the life you're living, not people thinking about the life of other people. Yeah. Also remember, people are looking at your life being like, oh, she's the shit and
the other
I want
thing
her life
too is just that like you also, we're all going to be a little bit jealous. We're all going to be a little bit this, a little bit wanting to that. We all slip and stalk our ex-boyfriends every once in a while. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God, I
that
was
shit
looking
happens.
At,
I was, but
I
like,
texted
it's
mine
just,
the other
we got to keep it in check, you know?
I was doing some light stalking and like accidentally clicked on someone's story that I really didn't want them to see that I had like looked at. And I immediately then blocked them. Which is
but
so
on stories, you can't see who's seen it. It only shows you randomly, like random names of people that have seen it, right?
No, you can see everyone that looks at your story.
How do you, you can search?
No, you can't search, but if you really want to take the time to like scroll through.
But
you
girl,
can, like,
140,000 people watch my stories.
Girl, this man does not have a close to a million followers. This man has maybe like 400. So like he's lucky if like 80 people watch his story.
Okay, fine. I just don't understand in the same way.
Very funny. All right. Well, this has been a very informative, lovely episode.
For sure.
And I'm so happy that you guys are writing into us. Again, please continue writing into us. It is like...
Yeah. Are we going to start dropping a lot of advice episodes?
You guys, I have some really disturbing news.
It really...
Contact at LadyLovin is not the email.
What?
Yes, it is not.
I think it is.
No, I emailed contact at LadyLovin.
And it's not the email?
And it mailer-demoned back to us.
Fuck.
And
go on our website.
I'm just going to go to contact.
LadyLovin.com.
So really what you need to do is just go to ladylovin.com and go to contact, and it'll direct you to a page to email us. And that's what you're going to have to do.
Oh my God. I really thought it was contact at ladylovin.com. No.
Well, you guys, or you can just shoot me an email, jilly@jillyhendricks.com, because they all just come to me anyway.
Yeah, they all get forwarded through Jilly's inbox anyway.
That's true. They all go to Jill.
So I'll make a little announcement at the top of the show when this is released with the email address and email addresses. But you guys, who's our lady lovin'?
My lady lovin' this week is Lo.
Okay.
Greta, you can be mine next week. Really? But I wanted to just say that I'm really proud of Lo, because I feel like she's been going through a rough time with the breakup. Yes. And she's really standing up for herself and staying true to what she wants.
I agree.
And being a strong, independent woman. Aww. And
I can get behind this.
Has really built a beautiful new home for herself. And yes, she's really taking care of herself in a healthy way, as opposed to like fucking around like we all want to do when we're heartbroken. So I'm very proud of you, and I love you.
I agree.
Oh, thanks.
Lo is my lady loving too.
Do you understand why, Greta? I love you though. Don't get offended.
You guys are giving me a tear.
It's fine. I'm just chopped liver over here.
You're not chopped liver.
No, I agree, Lo. You're a remarkable woman.
So we love you.
I'm very proud of you for, you know, going through a really, really hard time and not giving up and staying strong. And you're an inspiration to so many of our listeners, because they all write in being like, you've inspired me. I've been dealing with the same thing. And, you know,
I also think it's great because you're not just lying on your couch.
Exactly.
I was for a little while.
Yeah, but that was a very little while compared to some things. That was like a very brief moment in time that you were laying on your couch. And you're just an example of, you know, life keeps going and you got to keep going with it.
Thanks, guys.
And we love you.
Love you too.
And you're an icon.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. Send us emails,
but go to ladylovin.com, click on contact, and then you'll see a little blurby that will pop right up. It will get forwarded to Jilly's inbox.
Or just send me an email.
And then
we will continue.
We will continue answering your questions and doing all that. So
we love you.
We love you. We hope you have a great week. Positivity radiates through you.
Whoa.